You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox from Pro Football Focus. All month long on the podcast, we've been getting you ready for the 2018 NFL Draft, but we're going to interrupt your draft coverage here just for one podcast with some updates from the Bears voluntary minicamp. We've heard from Jordan Howard, Matt Nagy, and a number of other Bears this week, but we're going to focus on this third-year running back and talk about his fit in the offense and why he isn't going anywhere. Voluntary minicamp like this is always kind of a positive, happy time of year. You know, optimism is in the air. All the Bears are getting back together for the first time, and especially when you have a new head coach in the building, everybody's excited about everything. Everything is going great, and no one has any negative ideas even enter the realm of possibility. It's always an interesting time that tends to build up a little bit of hype, but it's usually a little bit of no harm, no foul there. We've heard this week from Matt Nagy, Jordan Howard, Mitchell Trubisky, Akeem Hicks, Tariq Cohen, and even Adrian Amos when it was all said and done. And we don't have enough time to play all the audio from everybody on just one podcast like this. So I want to focus in on Jordan Howard because there's been this perception all offseason that, you know, he's not a fit in Matt Nagy's offense because he's not a good receiver out of the backfield. And so when we finally got to hear from Matt Nagy and Jordan Howard this week, I was glad that some of the local reporters, they went straight to the source. They asked Matt Nagy about Jordan Howard, his receiving ability, and his fit within the Bears offense. And I mean, of course, Matt Nagy's never going to come out and say, yeah, Howard's not a great fit and we're trying to trade him. Or, you know, he's not going to come out and disrespect or criticize his player here on the first week of voluntary minicamps in the offseason. Of course, he's going to say a lot of positive things, but I did think Nagy said the right things. He didn't just ignore the issue or try and pretend like Howard is a great receiving running back, but he said some of the things we've been talking about this offseason on this podcast, and you'll be able to hear it now straight from the horse's mouth. Listen in here to what Nagy had to say about Jordan Howard, but he also talks about the wide receiver depth right now, and of course, his quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky.
One of the knocks on Jordan Howard is that he's not as good a fit for your offense as other running backs because he's not a proficient pass catcher. Is that a valid criticism?
No, I wouldn't say that. No, I think every running back has their own strengths and weaknesses. And so there's some that are better as pass receivers or some that are better inside, you know, tight zones and mid zones, outside zone. And Jordan has his own way of running, and he can anything that he does that's a weakness, we're going to try to focus on that and try to get it better. So just because he struggles in one area, and whatever that is that we all have, we're going to get him better. And so to sit here and say that he doesn't fit this offense, I don't think is very fair.
Will he be your feature back this year?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, he's and that's where – that's the beauty right now of where we're at is we're very strong at that position. And to have Cohen there as well, you know, you're seeing all these teams that are out there right now, they're going with multiple backs. And so to sit here and say a feature back, yeah, he's going to be the guy that lines up and gets the ball. But at the same time, we're crazy if we use one back. That's not going to happen. We're going to use multiple backs.
With Cam moving on, how do you feel about your wide receiver depth right now?
Yeah, so the depth right now could improve. That's the obvious answer. But again, you have guys in this room. You saw it today. There's guys that are there, and you don't want to slight them. You got to give them every opportunity. So what we'll do, what Ryan and I'll do, we'll talk to the staff, and we'll figure out which direction we want to go. You really can't have enough wide receivers. And so for us, we'll see where we're at in regards to the draft, and see which direction we want to go. But again, we're really not there yet just because of this is day one for us to see who the heck some of these guys even are out there and what they can and can't do.
Obviously, the guys haven't had the playbook very long. You have all the rules in terms of communicating with them. What were you able to accomplish with Mitch over the last few months to get better?
It's nothing's for, you know, other than these, when you're here and you have these guys, when they're here and they start phase one, you know, which is basically the last several weeks, you gotta have that balance of giving him what you want to give him by not giving him too much so he doesn't, you know, so he understands it, but you got to give him enough to where, you know, you kind of see how much he can handle and can't handle. And so, again, he's put in a lot of hard work at trying to understand this offense since he's been here. And then you have other guys that have been a part of this system, like Chase, like Trey Burton, that know the terminology, that are going to go ahead, and Tyler Bray, that are going to help. And so Mitch is a very smart kid. He's intelligent, very driven, motivated. A lot of the things that we talk about as a team, he has. And for him to be our quarterback and to have those traits, it's hard to not smile.
I want to get back to Jordan Howard in a second here, but first I want to quick point out what Nagy said about the wide receivers. You know, he kind of left the door open a little bit. It felt like to me, like, you know, he didn't just come out and say, yeah, we're super stoked about all the guys we have and we're set at the wide receiver position. He kind of left a little seed of doubt in there. And he did say that before the team ended up signing Marlon Brown, the wide receiver formerly of the Baltimore Ravens, who was actually at the voluntary minicamp on a tryout basis. But I still think he basically hinted that the Bears are going to look long and hard at wide receivers in this draft. And I'd be pretty surprised at this point if they don't come away with at least one at some point. I mean, for sure they're going to add an undrafted free agent or two, but he kind of felt like they could use maybe a little bit something more than that, even if it's not a first or second round pick. And we talked yesterday to Matt Waldman about the wide receivers in this draft, particularly the guys that aren't the big names, the not Calvin Ridley, not DJ Moore, etc. And Waldman actually had Washington wide receiver Dante Pettis as his number one wide receiver in this entire draft. He could potentially maybe be there in the fourth round, might be more of a third round guy in actuality. And also, Waldman was not high at all on Cortland Sutton. He had him way down in his rankings, not sold on his inconsistencies at all. So Waldman gave us some sleepers to keep an eye on there. If you haven't heard that episode of the podcast, go back and listen to it. It was the one right before this one that you're listening to now. Go back, tune in to yesterday's episode of Locked On Bears. But with this Jordan Howard situation, Nagy said kind of what I've been hinting at here for a few weeks. Whenever this Jordan Howard topic kind of scratches the docket here, he is going to adapt his offense to the players that he has. And it's not the other way around. And I think that's a point that's gotten missing on a lot of people, that, you know, people say, well, what, Howard doesn't fit what Nagy wants to do. But what Nagy wants to do is utilize the players that he has to be the most successful with them. It's about maximizing their strengths and minimizing their weaknesses. And the key in all of that is being able to do that without being predictable in the offense. And to me, that's what really separates good coaches from great coaches. I think good coaches can find ways to use players to their strengths, but great coaches can do that, minimize the weaknesses, and still not make it too obvious to opponents that they're going to be used that way, or what's going to come on every play. But just because Tariq Cohen is a great receiver shouldn't automatically hint every play that he's going to be the one catching the ball. Or just because Jordan Howard hasn't proven to be a very good receiver doesn't mean that he can't be taken seriously as a receiving weapon. You know, I think one of the ways you can do this in Chicago is put Howard and Cohen in the backfield together, you know, a little bit more than we've seen. That, you know, one can kind of be the decoy for the other. And when they're both out there, especially both in the backfield, you know, when Tariq Cohen is at wide receiver, you know he's running around. There's nothing deceptive there. But when you put them both in the backfield, you can do more. You can have different options there. And it's just, I think, one way you can get these players and have their strengths maximized and their weaknesses minimized. There's different ways to do it, but I think the one thing we know for sure now is that Jordan Howard isn't going anywhere. And of course, he was one of the players that met with the media this past week, and he really kind of laid to rest these rumors about his potential trade instability. And he was also asked about the whole Instagram thing when he took down all the pictures of him in the Bears uniform and then put them back up. Kind of was really weird about answering that question and still kind of left some things unanswered. And of course, he gave his own takes on Mitchell Trubisky. So here is Jordan Howard about the rumors, the myths, the realities, and the quarterback.
Jordan, there was a social media kerfuffle recently over your Instagram account.
Mm-hmm. What
were
about
you aware
it?
Of it? What happened?
Well, nothing to it. Just a story people made up.
Had you removed some pictures?
I don't know, did I? I don't know.
I need to start following you, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
Are you surprised that you got such reaction from something on Instagram?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I really wasn't expecting a reaction or anything.
So you don't know if the pictures
are? I don't know. You can go on there now and see if they're on there. I don't know.
They are.
Well, they are on there.
I guess they always been up there.
Were you hurt at all by your name coming up in so many trade rumors?
Nah, not really. It's a business, so you got to understand that. So I really wasn't hurt about that or anything.
Have they told you that they believe in you and they want you here?
Yeah, they told my agent that they had no plans to trade me or anything like that, so that's comforting.
What have you seen from Mitch since you got back in the building with him?
He's just still hungry. He's excited about the offense. He's just excited to get back out there and show what he can really do. Because rookie year, he was just going out there learning, but now he's ready to take over.
Can you see him, like, asserting himself more already in these first couple weeks?
He asserted himself a lot last year, but I definitely feel like a lot more people are listening to him. He has a lot greater command of the locker room and stuff just because he's the quarterback for sure now.
Jordan, your production is a good fit for any offense, but some people think that because you're not a good pass catcher, you haven't been really productive in the passing game, that you're not quite a great fit for Matt Nagy's offense.
Mm-hmm.
Is that valid?
I feel like I can fit in pretty much offense. Yeah, I've had struggles receiving, but anytime people doubt me, they're just pushing me to do better and, like, improving that. So that's definitely one thing I want to improve on.
And how can you do that? How can you improve by just, you know, pitching the ball?
Just keep working on it. Repetition after repetition.
So we said before that I think Jordan Howard's receiving issues are just a little bit overblown here, you know. I went back through this week and rewatched all of his drop passes from this past year, and then I wrote about it over at Bears Wire. So if you want some visual examples here and kind of see it written out all in front of you, exactly what's going on with Jordan Howard's hands, make sure you go check it out over at bearswire.com. But let's go a little bit in depth here. You know, Pro Football Focus tracks dropped passes for every player in the NFL. They had Howard with 6 drop passes on 29 catchable targets this past year. And so over the course of the last 2 years, he's dropped 21% of his catchable passes. That is the worst drop rate in the NFL among running backs. And I think among wide receivers as well, but don't quote me on that one. So, I mean, obviously, there's no denying that he drops passes and drops too many passes. But not all dropped passes are always created equal. You know, when I went back and looked at these 6 drops, you know, to be fair, all 6 of those drop passes hit him in both hands. He got both hands on the ball and was not able to bring it in. And, like, you might remember the first one more vividly than the rest. It was in the 4th quarter, week 1 against the Atlanta Falcons. Mike Glennon leading the Bears down for a comeback. Bears are down 6. There's like 20 seconds left. Howard is wide open in the flat right at the goal line. Hits him pretty well in the numbers. Drops it. Takes a hit right afterwards. Bears obviously don't end up getting the win there. And that one was bad. Really bad. But some of his other drops, you know, I thought 3 of them were thrown pretty far behind him. And there was another one that was thrown in front of him. And yes, he absolutely has to catch all 6 of those passes, but it's not like he's just dropping the easy ones. You know, he struggles to hold on to passes that are a little bit more difficult and are away from his body and his momentum. But when he gets a pass that's on target and on time, Jordan Howard catches it the majority of the time. And I think the big lesson and takeaway for me from looking at these drop passes is just how much the quality of the pass can affect the drop that goes into the pass. You know, Jordan Howard catches the good passes, and he drops some of the inaccurate ones, and drops inaccurate ones more so than most other NFL running backs. His hands are not good, but it's not as though he just can't catch good balls thrown his way. And I think one of the other takeaways here is that with those pro football-focused drop rate numbers, they are smart enough to run analytics on their own data, and they look at how often these stats tend to predict future stats at the position. So how, you know, when people have high drop rates, how long does that sustain? Is it a career thing where once someone drops a bunch of passes, they continue to have drop passes throughout their career? Or is it something that kind of fluctuates up and down from year to year? They do it with their quarterback stats too, as far as like passer rating under pressure. How much does that seem to fluctuate for the same player over the course of their career? And with drop rate, it's what they call an unstable stat. It means that more often than not, how many passes a player dropped in the previous year does not predict how many he's going to drop in the next year. And so you might be saying, well, but over Jordan Howard's 2 years, he's had a lot of drop passes 2 years in a row. Yes, but that's statistically unlikely, and it's even more statistically unlikely that it's going to continue for a third straight year. I don't think PFF has ever seen three straight years of a high drop rate from the same player. Like, one of the examples they give is that Fred Jackson from the Buffalo Bills, in 1 year he dropped 9 passes on like 25 targets. I mean, a horrible drop rate, even worse than Jordan Howard. The next year, he didn't drop a single pass. So you see a lot of fluctuation in terms of drop passes, and I think especially when you look at the context of the difficulty of the passes Jordan Howard dropped, still passes he needs to catch, he isn't statistically going to drop nearly as many balls this coming season. In theory, the quality of passes coming from Mitchell Trubisky is going to improve. 3 of his drops were from Glennon, so that certainly doesn't help. And when you look at his rookie year, getting passes from Brian Hoyer and Matt Barkley, that's not going to help either. As Mitchell Trubisky improves, the quality of passes coming to Jordan Howard are going to improve. He's going to drop fewer of them that way. And just statistically speaking, he is not bound to drop nearly as many passes, and I just don't think it's going to be that big of an issue here moving forward. I mean, really, Jordan Howard, he's never going to be a great receiver out of the backfield, but I do think he's still just going to be a guy that can get the job done. He's still going to be a fit in Matt Nagy's offense. You know, he's never going to be a big-time playmaker out of the backfield, but you can throw screens his way. And if it hits him on target, he's going to take it, and he just turns into a runner at that point. And I think as long as he is a strong runner with great vision and power and short area quickness, at times a little bit of burst, all you got to do is get the ball in his hands. Whether it's a handoff or a pass, he becomes the same guy working downfield. The drops are going to go down, and then it just turns into more opportunities for your young playmaking running back to just go and make plays in the open field. And as we heard from them at the press conferences, he's not going anywhere, at least until his contract is up. And I mean, I think realistically, Jordan Howard isn't going to get a second contract from the Bears when his rookie deal runs up, but that's going to be a topic for another episode sometime down the line. We'll be back next week for another edition of Mock Draft Monday. I'll be joined by my friend Emery Hunt from Football Game Plan, and we're going to look at some small school prospects here because we know Ryan Pace likes to take them. He grabs Jordan Morgan from Kutztown last year. Of course, Tariq Cohen from North Carolina A&T. There's another North Carolina A&T prospect in this draft that the Bears have already had a visit with, and I think there are 7 of them so far that are in the FCS level or lower. So we know the Bears are doing their homework on some of these small school prospects. So we're going to do the same thing. And really, Emery Hunt is the authority on FCS football. He was high on Tariq Cohen last year. He's still high on Jordan Morgan, and we'll get into some of that as well. But he is a treasure trove of small school knowledge, and I promise you're not going to want to miss that one, the same way that you don't want to miss any episodes of Locked On Bears. Subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcast listening app you use, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, you name it, we are on there. And also keep up with Locked On Bears on social media. We got a Facebook page, we're on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Bears, and keep up with more draft analysis We will be your podcast destination for all things Chicago Bears. That's why you got to keep it locked on Locked On Bears. And always remember to bear down.